broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresher Wealth Podcast with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. This is Matt Sorensen. So excited to be back. I had a week off, and I appreciate the guys filling in for me.
You had a week off? You got a week off?
You didn't remember how I missed last week?
Oh, you just missed a show. I was going to say, you sounded like you were running the river in, you know, in like the Grand Canyon for a week or something.
But no. Is that a vacation? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I guess that's what people call it. I don't.
I've heard of those.
I watch movies of people relaxing and on vacations.
Like Christmas, like that movie, like Christmas Vacation, and like, you know, I've heard of those.
Yeah, that's a dreamy world.
Yeah, sounds nice. So I'll have one of those.
Yes, but Matt did have off the show last week. It's glad to have you back, Mr. Sorensen. And
yeah, thank you all. I went to the Cedar City, Utah office. So I was, I missed the show. I miss being here, man. And I'm excited to be back today. But, you know, if you're new to this show, I want to let you know you are listening to a tax and legal podcast, but we try to entertain along the way, give you some valuable information that could, you know, save you money on taxes, help you better protect your assets and plan for your business. So you're in the right place if that's what you're looking for.
Yep. And we're grateful you're here. Thanks to all of you that continue to listen and share this podcast with your friends, associates, and business contacts. We're going to do our best to wow you. And today we have a great topic. It's all about the changes in tax planning that we're really starting to see how they're playing out. And I guess you want to probably introduce our guest, Matt, because it's going to be really awkward.
Well, I mean, there's been so much change, right? I mean, that we had tax reform that happened a couple of years ago, and there's been so much that it's like it needed a book almost. Like that's how much change happened.
It's true. Wouldn't that be handy?
Oh, I just wish someone would write a book about it so I knew what to do. But it is my honor and privilege to interview Mark J. Kohler, attorney and CPA.
Thank you.
Among many other things. That's just two of his, you know, illustrious titles. Author of Tax and Legal Playbook, The Game Has Changed, the second edition, which Mark spent a lot of time and work updating as we had tax reform go into play just in 2018. So a lot of people right now are doing their tax returns, seeing this, right? And they're seeing how 2018 actually played out, how it affected them on their taxes and their planning. And now we're getting a better sense on how to help clients plan for it in the future. So I'm excited to have Mark on today. Now, we always like to give some tax and legal tips before we get into the topic. So we will bring Mark back out, I guess, as we later on in the show.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that kind intro. And I'll just say this now too. A lot of people are not a lot. I've had a few people come up to me and say, "Why the game has changed? A new book on the tax law, dude. The tax law was a year and a half ago. Well, it was passed at the end of 2017. 2018 is the first year we actually started trying to figure it out. There's been countless IRS regulations and notices trying to explain the tax code, and there was a modification with more legislation in the summer of last year. And right now, like Matt, you just said, so many of us as practitioners and as taxpayers are seeing what it actually looks like on a tax return finally. Mm-hmm. And so we're in the middle of a tax season like no other. This is the biggest changes for preparers out there trying to figure out, okay, I'm doing a tax return for 2018 where it's this whole new world. So this book, which it took me a year to really just go investigate and go through each change in the new tax code, put it in layman's terms so everybody would want to read it. Yeah. And so this book, second edition, has 30% more content, if not more, Mm-hmm. And so it went live on for sale on Amazon this week. So it's available on all the major book selling websites, as well as ours at the law firm and mine.
Yeah, it's like number one in the, I don't know what category it is, but you're number one somewhere on Amazon in the hot new releases. So
I'm number one down at 7-Eleven on the corner of Main and First.
No one's selling more books than you.
No one's selling more books at 7-Eleven on the corner by my office than anyone. Number one. Number one, baby. No, it's done pretty well. So we're excited, and you'll see a lot of articles and stuff come out on the book and social media, some shooting some videos on it. I've updated my tax and legal library for those that already have it. Lots of good videos with these changes completed already for you to watch. And it'll save you a ton of money. And even if you're not a tax professional, you got to know this stuff, because you want to. I just yesterday met with someone that was like, man, my accountant doesn't talk about any of this. I'm going, maybe you have the wrong accountant, you know? So, or maybe you just need to learn it and teach your accountant. It's
weird. Yeah. And a lot of times it's just knowing the questions to ask. And I know so many people, listeners, do their own taxes and that's okay too. But yeah, this is a big, big change. And I think a lot of people spent some time whenever they set up their business, and this could have been 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, you spent some time to get the structure right and you just kind of get on a course. Well, this is the time when you got to look at the map again, because what you're going to be doing right now might be a little bit different. And for the last 30 years, there's nothing close to the amount of tax law changes that have happened. So we just want to reexamine it, let you get a fresh look at it, and point out some areas maybe be thinking about.
I like what you just said too. And I know we got to get to our tips, but I'll just say this. I like your analogy of the course adjustment. I think all of us can get our heads around that, whether it's boating, hiking, just traveling across the country. Even think of this is a good analogy. Even think of Siri or your Apple Maps. When you get on a path to a place, traffic patterns might switch your route, and automatically it's updated on your phone. And so even if you're not physically yourself pulling out a map like the good old days and adjusting where you're going on this with GPS out there, what's GPS doing for you? It's adjusting your course as conditions change. And so, Matt, that was excellent. Love that. Great analogy.
I mean, we kind of walked into that together. I mean, I just threw it up and you threw it down, you know?
Yeah. It was an alley-oop of one of the most...
It was a sweet
one. This will go down in history. Probably. Yeah. People will remember this moment. You were here, everybody. You were here when it happened. Yeah. The course adjustment. Maybe I should just scrap the book and start over. Call it the course adjustment.
Rerouting.
Yeah. I missed it. That was the chance I had.
Okay. I feel like things change too, though. Okay. Well, let's get into the tax and legal tips. We like to just give a quick tax and legal tip, maybe a little bit off topic from what we're talking about today. And I'll just I'll go with the legal tip. Okay. I'm ready.
All right.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, today's legal tip, I want to talk about getting your contracts in order. Because, and this is the tip, a bad contract makes a bad deal. Okay?
Even if it's a good deal.
Or a good transaction or agreement, or, you know, however you cut your deal, whatever it is. And maybe it's a real estate investment. Maybe it's a business relationship. Maybe it's just a simple service agreement, you know, what you provide services for. It could be a great arrangement, a good deal. It could be a profitable venture. But if the contract's bad, it becomes a bad deal. So we want to make sure that whatever we're doing and agreeing to, and the deals we actually cut, that the contract reflects that. And we want to make sure that there is a good contract. So let me just give you a couple things to think about. If for the real estate investors, when you have a good deal and you're excited about it, that is the one you've really got to make sure the contract's right, right? Because this is the one you want to make money on. You're counting on. And if it's such a great deal for you, maybe the other party's not going to be so excited later on if they feel like they're getting the short end of the stick. So make sure the contract is really tight in that situation. Now, on the other hand, let's say you provide services or a product and you're a business owner. I want you to think about your common contract you use in the business. What is my standard service agreement? Does it have the things in it that I actually tell my customers and clients that we do? Does it represent what we're communicating to people when they're buying our product or buying our services? Does it represent the policies that we actually have when we, do we give refunds? Do we not? Under what conditions do we? How can we terminate? Does it actually represent how you operate your business? And if it doesn't, you've got a bad contract and you've probably had situations where people have been pissed off. So what we want to do is I want to just re-examine that common contract you use in your business to make sure that it represents actually how you practice business, what your policies are, and how you want to treat your customers. So just focus on that. Just quick tip. Remember, you have a bad contract, you got a bad deal.
I love it, Matt. Excellent, excellent tip. And, you know, it's, I'm going to play off that analogy of a bad contract can make any deal a bad deal. Mm-hmm. With a tax tip, which I think you're going to love.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Okay, so continuing the analogy, bad bookkeeping can make a deal bad.
Yeah.
Right? So
bad tax return.
Yeah. So I was going to talk about bookkeeping for a minute. Now, when I say bookkeeping, that's a general term. Let me make a couple examples. So let's say you're buying stuff down at Home Depot and Lowe's and you're working on a project, or you're online and you're buying internet services and different software and packages and plugins, and you're designing your website. And all these, you're buying product, you're buying services. You, no matter what type of business you have, if you're throwing it on all different types of credit cards, you're using your personal account, your business account, and you're throwing all this crap in a drawer. And I know all of you have done it because I've done it. And so all of a sudden, 3 months into the deal, 3 years into the deal, you can't make sense of anything. Are we even making profit? I know. Some of you are sitting there going, Mark, don't say this. This is not good. Because I've done the same thing. Even in my career here in the last 15 years, you have those months, you have those years where life just come at you, and you, and your bookkeeping and your attention to details is put aside so you can make a living and make more money. And there's other stresses and you're like, oh, I'll get back to it. Well, if you're in a partnership and the books are a disaster, it can really make the partnership more difficult to manage in the relationship, because mistrust, mistakes could happen. You know what I'm talking about. And then even if it's just you and your spouse, or you're flying solo and it's just you, when you're trying to put all those books together, if you're audited, it could be a disaster. If you're going to pay your accountant more at the end of the year and all these things. So here's the takeaway. I think all of you know what happens. We've all been there. We all get into that rut or problem or cycle at some time. Yeah. Let's just keep it real. Let's be honest with ourselves, identify when it's happening, and get help. Sounds like a drug intervention, but the 12 steps of bookkeeping. But yeah. That's the first thing. You can't put your head in the sand and pull the ostrich mentality and hope it goes away. Yeah. Get help. Bring in a little college intern that needs the hours, and it could even be free or very affordable, and say, help me get organized. Don't give them control of your checkbook or bank account, so you keep potential embezzlement, which could even, you know, catapult it to whole new levels of problems. But just get help and ask for help. Bring it up. Talk about it. It's, man, the parallels here in an opioid addiction or something. You're trying to get by. It's tough. And I don't care if you work for someone else or you work for yourself. You've got to reach out, get some help that with the bookkeeping and the organization, and because it'll just snowball into a bigger disaster.
Yeah. And I think being organized like that is, you're going to spend the time, whether you're doing it on, you know, April 14th or, you know, September 14th or whatever, October 14th, whatever your tax return deadline or extension is, you're going to do it. You have to put in the time to do it. You might as well spread it out and do it as you go. Why? You're going to be better organized. You're going to remember stuff. And I always tell people, there's no way in heck I'm going to remember what I did in January of 2018 in September of 2019. Was this expense a business expense or a personal expense? If I'm tracking it that far later when I'm actually filing my return on extension, I'm not going to remember. So do it as you go. You're going to remember and pick up more things. Also, you're going to be more in tune with the finances of your business. Isn't that important, right? To know what the heck's going on a monthly basis if you're keeping up on it month to month. Really, really important. So, okay. All right. Get help.
Well, solid tips today. It's the little things that matter, Matt. It's just the little things that make the difference.
It really is.
It is.
All right. Well, it's my pleasure to welcome our special guest.
Woo!
Mark J. Kohler to the show. And I have to say, I'm just going to say the tax and legal playbook. When someone asks for a book about what we do, I give them Mark's book, the tax and legal playbook. Oh, like when I have a family member that's like, hey, I just started a new business or, you know, or they're asking me, so they start asking me like the questions I get excited about, the tax and legal questions. That's the book I tell people to get.
Thanks.
Because it's got everything. It talks about what's the right entity to use, what are the common tax strategies business owners use, how to coordinate your assets versus your, you know, like your rental properties or real estate investments versus your business, your kind of operating business. It brings it all together. And it really encapsulates a lot of the planning we do in our office for clients. So I love it. That's my favorite Mark J. Kohler book. I mean, I'm just going to say that's my favorite.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. It is the most comprehensive, well-rounded, and obviously the asset protection book and the story of the CPA and financial freedom, they all have their purposes and are very different than the tax and legal playbook. But it is nice to kind of have it all in one helpful resource. And I'm just going to look right now. I can't even remember because it's just so much work has gone into it. I'm now at 26 chapters and 3 appendices. So... anyway, the purpose of today, as I said to Matt, hey, we ought to talk about the book. And we thought, all right, the best format maybe for Matt just to interview me and what's just different about this new edition. Mm-hmm. We'll just get some tips out there. I think this is important for everybody to think about. So I hope that format's okay with everybody. We're playing off that kind of in a fun way, but we're just trying to get this content out.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's start jumping into some of the changes. Now, one of the biggest changes, of course, for small business is this thing called QBI. What do we call it? Qualified Business Income.
Yeah, boy, you went to the heart of the issue. This was the biggest piece in the legislation. And some of you are already probably thinking, well, it is what it is. Whatever the deduction is, that's what I get. But it's more complex than that. So here's the point. Let's just talk big picture for a minute and why this took so much work is to pass this legislation, and Trump and the GOP was trying to stimulate the economy, whatever. I'm going to try to keep politics out of it for whatever rhyme or reason. You may hate Trump or hate the Republican Party. Of course, they drove this through. But take advantage of what they did give you. Even if you know, you're not happy about it, there's some amazing tax savings for many, many, many people if you do it right. So forgetting the politics, the theory was we had to give big corporations a tax cut, so all big corporations went to a 21% flat rate.
Yeah. That was almost cut in half, by the way, from the max rate. That was a sweetheart deal for big corporations. So that's a
big deal, right? Yep. But then they had to do something for Main Street. And when I joke about Wall Street versus Main Street, it's a legitimate issue. It is very, very common that the big corporations get all the breaks, and what does Main Street get? So in order to help the medicine go down, that spoonful of sugar was this Main Street break, which was 20% of whatever you make is now a deduction. So it's not a tax cut, even though there was some at the individual rates and some simplification. At the business level, for all of you investors out there, and this includes your rental real estate income, your VRBO, your Airbnb, your restaurant, your engineering business, your contracting, your realtor, whatever. It gets complex, but the basic concept is you're going to get this QBI, qualified business income, 20% deduction off the bottom. And so you're just not taxed on 20% of your income as a small business owner. This is why if you're just work for someone else, not much changed. In fact, it could have gotten a lot worse with some of the adjustments to the standard and itemized deduction scheme. But anyway, Matt, so that's the short answer. I'm trying to make sense of it. It is complex.
Yeah. So if I had $100,000 of that QBI, qualified business income, I'm a small business owner, I'm really going to get taxed on like I had 80.
That's right. That's right.
And so that's sweet. I mean, that's, man.
Yeah. And like and there's these thresholds that it starts to break into, which I don't really want to get into today. We could, but these thresholds, And I probably for everybody out there so that, you know, so everybody feels like they've got some sort of frame of reference. At Matt's example of $100,000 is a good one because that's really kind of the core business owner out there. They're a plumber, an electrician, a contractor, a realtor, a restaurant owner, a food truck you're selling online. And after all your expenses, you net $100,000. Now, we're not even talking about S-Corp strategies, but if you net $100,000, that 20% deduction kicks in. But then you start, but here's where it gets complex, is when you start making more money, there's these thresholds that start to play into it. And your different types of businesses don't get to play in the game. And it starts at about 157,000 single or 315,000 married filing joint. And that's just your overall income. So if your spouse makes a couple hundred grand at a W-2 and you have a small business, it's going to depend on what type of business you have, and you're going to be in a different equation. So what they're trying to do is help that core middle-income American, keeping it as simple as possible. But the more money you make, the more loophole planning is involved.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of those businesses, I mean, they were kind of like, well, the doctors and lawyers, and I mean, they kind of carved out and picked some winners and losers in that, right? Like the lawyers, which, I mean, the lawyers always win on in-law stuff like this, but lawyers lost, right?
Yeah.
You're an attorney. Doctors, healthcare professionals, dentists, lost, right? They will basically, when I say lost, is that's what you're talking about here, is if you're high income, you're going to phase out on this 20% deduction. Is that right? Is that a good way to say it or not? How would you say that?
Yeah. And that's a good way of saying it in just summary. Now, okay. So here's the takeaway, because I want to make sure everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is too complex. Let me just give you the takeaway. You cannot just assume that your accountant or your TurboTax software is going to kick out this and you're like, oh, I'm done. I got the deduction, because it's part of a big equation. And so if you're paying self-employment tax and you're doing an S corporation, the 20% deduction is only on the pass-through, not your salary. And so this salary dedication to get minimized self-employment tax, but then to get as much bottom line for the deduction, there's a yin and a yang. There's a two sides of the coin. And so planning becomes important in a big way on how you take your income. And are you doing a 401k, a solo 401k in your small business? How much are you going to contribute? Are you putting your kids on payroll? And what type of payroll? And is it a 1099 or are they under age 18? And so it's like baking a cake and they just added a new ingredient. And you can't just throw it in there and think the cake's going to come out better. There's some balancing act. You got to reduce some baking soda or baking powder, or you got to increase the sugar or the flour, because there's this new player in the game, which gives you opportunity. And so I don't know. But that's okay. Topic number one, that 199A. Lots of opportunities there. Takes a little bit of planning, just a conference call at the end of the year or fall with your strategist, and you're like, boom, we're on it.
Yeah. And that's if I'm an S corp or I'm an LLC or a sole prop, I can get that.
Yes.
All right.
So anyway, tricky topic. I've got two videos in my tax and legal library totaling over an hour and a half to 2 hours, frankly, trying to explain this in the tier one, which is the bulk of Americans, and then that tier two, where you're making a lot of money. What do I do? And what are the strategies? So if you haven't got that tax and legal library, it's a few $100, it's a great tax write-off. You can get over to markjkohler.com, check out those videos, you get lifetime access. You can watch them over and over again, make your family watch them. So So that's it's a great little thing. So check that out.
Yeah. And I think right now, this is probably the number one. This is really this time of year, I think, and coming into the fall is an excellent time to be reexamining this, because you probably filed your 18 return. You can see how this worked. You can compare it to what you were doing before, and you can say, all right, now how do I tweak this to better maximize my my tax planning? And so I think this is a really good time for this show and also to just really focus in on some of these topics, because that is the classic rerouting and how am I going to redo this and rechart my course, I think is this is perfect timing for this right now.
Yeah. And let's put a little last example on this. I had a phone call from some clients yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's an IT specialist, information technology specialist. And so they do different sorts of computer support services. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. And they were making, he took home a salary, and his wife had a day job too, and they're both involved in the business and all that. But just let me just summarize it this way. They were taking home a salary of about 190 grand, but their pass-through was around 60 grand, and they were doing an S-corp. Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. First, many of you that have listened to this show before, they're taking way too much salary, paying way too much in FICA, SUTA-FUTA, workers' comp, blah, 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 all those little things that can add up depending on what state you're in. So, but look at also the flip side. Their pass-through income was only 60,000. So their 20% QBI deduction was only 12,000. See, mm-hmm. 20% of $60,000. Well, if we just flipped it, this is amazing. On the phone call, I just said, what in the freak is your accountant doing? And they're like, what? I go, well, let's just flip it. Let's take 60 grand in salary and 190 in pass-through. Now that was probably too much. But I was just saying, for example, I think I ended up pegging their salary around 80, but let's just flip that around. Now your QBI deduction could be as great as $40,000. Mm-hmm. What? And their FICA dropped by 9,000. So the net result was almost a $15,000 to $20,000 tax savings in one phone call.
Yeah.
And they said, oh my gosh. And we're scheduling a phone call with their accountant and me. We're going to see how the accountant takes a little bit of coaching. If their accountant's got a pissy attitude and is territorial and doesn't like hearing Mark Kohler tell him what to do, they're going to fire him. If their accountant's like, nope, you're right. Oh my gosh, I missed this. We should have done it this way. I like what you're saying, Mark Kohler. Let's do it. Then we're good. So the client is taking control of their ship. And see, that's a good example, people, that you are the captain of your ship. You can't just expect your accountant to be doing this. You've got to get a little bit involved so that you can understand what they're doing so that you can hold them accountable.
All right. What's after QBI? I'm a small business owner. I'm loving the 20% deduction on my income, qualified business income. What's the next biggest change? What should I be looking and thinking about re-examining of how I may have already been doing stuff?
Yeah, and most everybody should know this by now, but I'm just going to say the other big change, where the government giveth, the government taketh away, and the entertainment deduction is gone. And that hit Matt and I pretty hard too. We were avid players while we're talking business. When we get together, players. That didn't sound good.
Yeah, that was the wrong word.
Wrong word. Recreationalists.
Yeah.
So we are avid, hey, let's have a business meeting and meet here and go do this. I mean, we've shot birds in North Dakota or South Dakota. I can't remember which Dakota it was. We've
fishing, been on boats. I mean,
baseball games. Yeah, no longer. So the entertainment deduction's gone, but the food deduction stayed. So as long as you're talking business or traveling for business, your food deduction didn't really change. But again, that was... We had to wait through 2018 for that, because there was a regulation at the mid-year fall where we got clarification, because initially the food deduction was in jeopardy. So this is why the book took a while to come together, because we were waiting to get clarification on a lot of these little details. But the entertainment deduction's gone. And Matt, I think you're pretty sad about that too.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just I was talking to some clients who would, they would buy tickets to NBA, Utah Jazz fans. So they'd buy a season tickets. They had four, and they would use them to take out employees or customers, vendors. You know, it was a entertainment thing, but they used it for business purposes and they found it to be very, very beneficial. But it's funny because all the sports teams have seen this and they've freaked out, right? They were worried that a lot of these businesses that are buying this are not going to be able to expense this anymore. So what did they do? They offer them these packages that it's not just tickets. We're going to advertise for you. You're going to be in the program. You're going to get this on the Jumbotron or whatever. And so now they can couch it into a marketing expense. I mean, presumably, I mean, but that was the, what they ended up doing. And it's, you know, it's a similar price. Maybe it's a little bit more, I think, but you're seeing how that played out, and you've got to be more careful about those entertainment expenses. What that means is, you know, if you had $10,000 of tickets that you were using to entertain clients and customers and employees, you're not getting a deduction for that. That's just personal money now. So be careful on those items. Try to find a way to make it an expense.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. What about on the healthcare side or auto? What about any of those?
Those are both
huge topics.
Let's hit those on the side. Let's hit those quickly and separately. The healthcare issue really didn't change as much as we thought it would, right? Remember how Donald Trump and the GOP were slamming things around and jumping up and down on tables in their congressional meetings on C-SPAN? We've got to repeal Obamacare and blah. But did they get anything done, really? No, because there's just a lot of popular support to keep control away from insurance companies. And I've said this before, I'm not trying to be political. But I'll be honest, I was very happy that President Obama was able to get something done with healthcare because of the insurance lobby. I really don't see it as a Democrat-Republican issue. I see it as public versus insurance companies. And that legislation that was passed back, you know, 8 to 10 years ago now with President Obama really helped most Americans get healthcare, get affordable healthcare. Even though premiums have gone up for so many people, I know someone's listening going, Mark, it's crap. My premiums are more. Yeah. But that's not the government's fault. That's insurance companies still wanting to make a profit. And so, you know, don't make sure you're blaming the right person.
Yeah. But we do have the individual mandate is gone, right? Yeah. So the penalty that used to be there has been removed. But all the same programs and tax planning and everything is there.
Yes. So I think there's two significant changes. One, sorry, that was my rant and rave as to the why. So thanks everybody for your patience. Again, some of you, I just lost a listener.
Vote on November 8th for Mark Kohler.
Some people are like, was that pro Obamacare? I'm going to quit listening to Kohler. No, just freaking insurance companies.
I thought you nuanced that pretty well. I thought you threaded the needle on that.
I threaded the needle. All right.
Very political.
So I was thinking of Star Wars, you know, the Empire Strike, Return of the Jedi, those little Ewoks going through the forest, you know.
And yeah.
You're threading the trees and then, oops, boom, that guy didn't make it. Hit the tree and exploded.
It was always the stormtrooper on those things that, you know, they always hit the tree. Ewoks, they didn't mess around. They knew what
they did. That's true. They did pretty well. It's just that random stormtrooper just got wasted on a tree. Luckily I dodged that one, I hope. So the first thing was the individual mandate. So you do not have to go out and buy insurance. If you want to throw caution to the wind, feel free. There's no penalty. The second major change that I saw and that I think is good and very significant is that the limits on the HRA, the health reimbursement arrangement for a single family business, no other employees, those limits have been removed. For a couple years under Obamacare, there was a $10,000 cap on health reimbursement arrangement dollar amounts. So the HRA is now, the lid is off again, which was what we were used to for many years. But for small business owners. Now, if you don't know what an HRA is, in summary, and again, this is part of the book, a whole section on this, it allows you as a business owner to deduct all of your out-of-pocket medical, not just insurance premiums. We're talking copays, deductibles, surgeries, mm-hmm. prescription drugs, physical therapy, all these little things that sometimes you come out of pocket for can be written off, even drug rehab for you, yourself, your spouse, your kids, whatever. That's a medical expense. It's a write-off under an HRA. Well, it was limited. Now it's not. For, again, if you don't have other employees and you have a small business. So it helps a select few, but those are a lot of our clients. So I was very happy with that.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Now, auto.
Yeah. What did Detroit get? What did the auto industry get?
Good stuff. This is the year of the auto. I know it's the year of the pig in China, but it's the year of the auto in the U.S. 18, 19, 20, and 21, about the next 3 to 4 years, the auto deductions are better than they've been in 4 decades. They are unbelievable. The limits on luxury vehicles was raised. There's something called bonus depreciation. The mileage limit is up to 58 cents. Mm-hmm. Or I should say the mileage deduction is up to 58 cents. It's just across the board, SUVs, trucks, RVs, autos, new autos, used autos. Every aspect of the auto deduction has gotten better. So if you're a small business owner, even if you just own rental property, we've got ways to make your auto deduction even more. Mm-hmm. So anyway, good stuff, Matt. I don't know what to say.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about legal planning do I need to change my entity? Is my entity structure okay? What should I be re-examining there? Are you recommending people set up different entities? Give me the scoop on that.
Yeah. I think, and I'm just literally scanning the table of contents of my book going and asking myself, the 30% new content in the book, is it really much of a change when it comes to the legal issues and the asset protection? I would say there's a few little golden nuggets out there. Mm-hmm. I increased improved and added quite a bit to the corporate credit and personal credit building section of the book.
Mm-hmm. And
that I think is good. And I think it really added more helpful information for people that are trying to build corporate credit. And I talked more about maintaining your entities properly and using privacy, mail forwarding, and company maintenance, all that good stuff I think I've enhanced that quite a bit. But the final thing I'll say is really from an entity structuring issue, not to sound like a broken record, but it comes back to this QBI 199A thing, that it made the S corp even better. It really did. Bottom line. And so and this is across the board, planners that have been using the S corporation properly for years, are in agreement on this, that the S corporation just got even more powerful. So if you're making more than 50 grand a year net in your business at all, and your accountant is not singing the praises of the QBI and the S corp and that strategy and bringing that together, the yin and the yang, you got the wrong advisor. And that's a big takeaway for you as a captain of your ship.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's transition and talk about something. It's kind of the more that I like. What about retirement plans? what's new in the book? And a lot of this I have to say is not an evolution maybe it is an evolution of ourselves, but we're learning, right? We're adding this, we're getting better. I don't know if there's necessarily any tax law changes, but you've added a lot more content on retirement plans, right?
Yeah. And see, this was a great chance. And of course, Matt would have to bring up retirement accounts, which is good, is that my first edition to this book, I was really drafting 4 years ago. Yeah. Well, do you think I've learned a little bit from Matt Sorensen in the last 4 years? Has there been other changes in the law? Maybe not as significant as the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Sure. Have there been cases? Have seen clients come through our doors for 4 years, thousands of clients, and learned what's working better for them? And oh my gosh, Matt and I are constantly evolving too, to try to be better planners and advisors. So when I went,
can I just say too, this is a little epiphany I had the other day. Well, I get so many people that call us and like, I read this online. I do, you know, my so-and-so told me this at some seminar and I'm like, yeah, that sounds good, but it doesn't work. I mean, I've been doing this for, you know, 15 years. I'm just telling you, I've heard people say that for years, and then we see them do it. It doesn't work. And so we have this perspective of not only like the concept and what people are putting online and teaching in seminars. No, we're seeing people actually do it and seeing their tax returns and getting the feedback. And that's so much more valuable.
Yeah. Sorry. It is. Being in the trenches after, rather than just being a fly-by-night speaker that comes to your town and is selling a bigger package.
Yeah.
For example, I'm just going to go there, and I know this concerns some people, the opportunity zone, the 1031, the bonus depreciation that you can take on real estate. You can do a cost segregation. Hey, guys, you know, except for the opportunity zone, we've been dealing with those for years. And you go to a seminar and someone's getting up and pounding the table and they're excited and they're talking about opportunity zones and bonus depreciation. And you're like, Mark, why aren't you guys talking about that? Well, because it only affects a few people. It's good and it might help some, and it's cruel, but it's not helping everybody across the board. And but it's the only thing they could talk about to get their crowd excited to sell them something. And so we want to look at a comprehensive smorgasbord of options that can go on your plate that can work for you. Because your menu and your taste is going to be different than someone else's and what you can really take advantage of. So,
yeah. Yeah. Much more tailored. Well, what is on retirement plans?
So retirement plans, what we've learned and gotten better at, and this is what I wanted to add to the book when I had a bite at the apple, because I got a second bite at the apple and I thought, hey, let's just think of anything, not just the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Yeah.
I really beefed up the section on solo 401ks and the strategies related to Roth conversions, what changed there, because there was a change in the last 4 years there.
Right.
So I really emphasized the importance of Roth self-directing and improved a lot of the diagrams to show more options and strategies that, frankly, I have learned from Matt. Matt's our team leader when it comes to self-directing strategies. He's constantly teaching our legal team of lawyers and paralegals on things that are available. And I'm doing conversely the same thing. I'm just talking more about the run-of-the-mill tax deductions that people just aren't aware of. So it's really complimentative for both of us to work together in this way. So I had Matt read those chapters. I know, Matt, you added some things, encouraged me to include this or, you know, correct that. And so I think people will find that helpful too.
Yeah. Yeah. And for any of the business owners, and that's the, you know, you're a business owner, real estate investor, the tax legal playbook is I will give you your money back if you don't like it. Crap. It's a good book. And so, yeah, you heard it here.
Matt's giving refunds on my book. I love that.
I think I'll go broke, my friend. I think I'm going to be all right.
Yeah, I think you'll be
all right. But yeah, there's a lot there and so much more on the Roth side. You're right that there's the Roth conversion changes. You can't do recharacterizations anymore. And a lot of the chunking strategies and things we talked about and how to convert over time to minimize the tax burden. Those are some great things to do to help save taxes, but also get you to Roth. So, okay. Well, man.
Can I give one final word?
Yeah.
The appendices were a big deal. I actually hired a research attorney that specializes in research to go through all the states, determine which ones have better COPE or charging order protection, which ones have, you know, changed their series LLC laws, which ones have a domestic asset protection trust, which ones have better bankruptcy protection and all these issues that are state specific. So those appendices, I was on a phone call with someone and I went and grabbed my own book and pulled out the appendices. Okay, yeah, here's the new rules. So
These are
cutting edge, fresh, up to date. So when I'm on a phone call and I know the other attorneys in our office, they use those appendices more than anything because it gives you a quick look at different states' rules.
Yeah, and seeing that's the nuanced advice and tailoring that people really need. And it's so funny, you just talk about the DAPT. A charging order protection entity. If you don't know what these things are, guys, you got to read this. You know, Mark breaks down in easy to understand format. So, and it's now up to date, the latest, the greatest stuff out there. So,
yeah. So if you want the book, get over to, probably the easiest is markjkohler.com. You can get it on Amazon. If you're a Prime member, the, free shipping will be probably your best deal. If you go to my website, it's autographed. So whatever that's worth, hopefully it's worth something. And I shot a fun video. Did you see my new sportscasting video?
I did not.
Oh my gosh. Go over to YouTube right now. Just do it right now. You got to see at least the first 30 seconds. I'm a sportscaster on a fictitious ESPN blue screen in front of a football field. It's pretty amazing.
Okay.
So, so if anybody you follow me on YouTube, check that out. I kind of hammed it up, talked a little bit about the book, and it's the best we can do without an ESPN production crew in the, you know, millions. Mm-hmm. It's pretty ghetto, but it's fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Mark, for sharing a little bit about the book today. Appreciate it. I know, you know, you feel a little salesy and stuff about it, but I think it was really important to do. And I know it's a really, really important resource for everybody out there. So thanks so much, everyone, for being with us this week. We appreciate you listening and, again, sharing the show. If you like it and you're still listening right now, and that does mean you like it, give us 5 stars on whatever, you know, service you're listening to us on. And make sure you sign up for the newsletter, refreshwealth.com. One even just went out this morning. And we do it every week. It's got tons of information, videos like Mark just mentioned, and articles updating you on the latest and greatest stuff in tax, legal planning, helping you better live the American dream. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's eBooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.